Word of God for our consideration today, Matthew chapter 25, our gospel lesson. In the name of Jesus, who certainly will come to judge the living and the dead, dear fellow redeemed. When I was back in high school in New Ulm, Minnesota, Martin Luther Academy, the cheerleaders used to get the crowds fired up with a cheer that started, "Are you ready?" And we'd say, "Yeah." "Are you really ready?" "Yeah." "Well, then let's go fight, win tonight. Go fight, win tonight. Yeah." Whether or not your high school had that cheer, how it begins, "Are you ready?" applies to more than just, "Are you ready to cheer on your team?" It also applies to the fact that every one of us, at some point, is going to meet our Maker. The question is, are you ready? Really ready? Today we turn our attention to a parable that Jesus told to his followers to prepare them, to get them ready for the final day. It's called the parable of the 10 virgins. Today we might call it the 10 bridesmaids, because that's what these young ladies were doing. They were watching and waiting to accompany the bride and groom into the wedding banquet. And so today, we are going to seek to put ourselves in the shoes of those bridesmaids as we listen to Jesus' simple advice. Bridesmaids, be ready. Be ready no matter when the groom arrives, and be ready with a full jar of oil. I expect you know that a parable is sometimes called an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? Or another way to put it would be it's a description of some real life events that then have a parallel truth, spiritually speaking. And so we want to start by focusing on the earthly story. Jesus begins it this way. At that time, in other words, on the last day, whether it's the last day of the world or the last day of your life, on that day, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Now, maybe a little explanation about Jewish marriage customs is in order. Back in the day, marriages were often arranged by parents, and really the first step was this public betrothal, where the man and woman would publicly pledge themselves to each other as husband and wife, and at that point they were legally married, even though they were not yet living together. In fact, oftentimes the husband would take some time, maybe months, to prepare a place for his bride to come and live. And then when everything was set, he would go to her house, or probably her parents' house, and bring her into her new home. And that's when the real wedding celebration would begin. That would include a banquet that might last for days. Well, it was that event of the bridegroom going to pick up his bride that all the bridesmaids were waiting for, so that they could accompany both of them in this wedding procession to the new home and to the banquet. The trouble is, the bridesmaids often didn't know exactly when the groom was going to show up. I mean, if grooms back then were anything like grooms today, you can understand how this works, right? The guy gets distracted, he loses track of time, or he's out with his buddies at the bachelor party, and the next thing you know, it's like the clock striking midnight. That's what happens in this parable. Jesus says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And so what happens with the bridesmaids? Jesus says, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Tell me, is there a spiritual parallel to this part of the parable? Are there people who start to wonder whether they're really going to meet their maker? Do they start to get drowsy, spiritually speaking? It happens all the time. You know the attitude, oh, I don't have to worry about religious things yet. I'm not that old. I don't need to think about what's going to happen when I die, whether I'm going to heaven or hell. I got way more important things to think about, way more fun things to do. I mean, I don't want to think about Judgment Day. Or as the scoffers put it in 2 Peter, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. To which Jesus would say in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. That's the first lesson that Jesus has for us in this parable. Just because he hasn't come yet doesn't mean he's not coming. Or to put it more personally, just because you're still alive today doesn't guarantee that you'll be alive tomorrow. And the same is true for your children and your children's children. I was reminded of that this week. I had a Zoom call with all the Wells missionaries in Asia. And at the beginning of the meeting, one of the missionaries said, today I found out that my 10-year-old grandson died tragically in his own backyard. Talk about hitting us like a ton of bricks. It was a stark reminder of why Jesus once said, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now let's understand that there's a difference between expecting something to happen and actually being ready for it when it comes, right? There are plenty of people who are expecting that someday they'll die. But are they really ready for that event? Are they ready for what will come with it? Are they ready for what Scripture says? People are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Too often the answer is no, they are not ready. In fact, wasn't that the case with these bridesmaids? I mean, they were all expecting the bridegroom to come, right? They believed that he would come. They really wanted to go with him into the wedding banquet. And yet, when the cry rang out, the bridegroom is here, it turns out they were not ready. They were not prepared. Why is that? Well, understand that oftentimes in those days, the bridegroom would come after dark. And because there weren't any like street lights, the bridesmaids had to bring their own lamps. And whether those lamps were little oil lamps or whether they were lanterns or whether they were torches on a stick, the fact is, because they didn't know exactly when the bridegroom was coming and they didn't know exactly how long this procession would take, they would have to bring their own oil to keep their lights burning so they weren't all in the dark. Really, that's the point of this parable. It's that oil that divided the wise bridesmaids from the foolish ones. What did Jesus say? The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you." Instead, "Go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. I want you to notice a couple of things about those bridesmaids. First of all, at the beginning of the parable, they all look relatively the same, right? They all have lamps. They're all expecting the bridegroom. They all want to accompany him into the banquet, but at the critical moment when the bridegroom arrives, when the cry goes up, they were not ready. They did not have the oil that they needed, and in the end, they were shut out of the banquet. So the question is, what's the parallel in our lives today? Two of them. First of all, when it comes to people who are waiting to meet their Maker, who are maybe even looking forward to see Jesus, who want to go to a better place when they die, by and large, outwardly, they all look the same. They're probably living pretty moral lives. They're maybe going to church. They're maybe putting offerings in the plate. They're sending their kids to Sunday school or Christian day school. They're professing to be Christians. And in fact, maybe you and I are in that group. But at the critical moment, when they meet their Maker, there will be a reckoning. There will be a dividing between those who are wise and those who are foolish. Those whose lamps are lit and those that have burned out. The question is, which group will you be in? Let me put it this way. If you're standing before God on his throne and he asks you, "Why should I let you into my banquet?" What would you say? If your answer begins with the words, "Well, because I'm not that bad a person, because I do my best to do the right thing, because I try hard, If your hope of living with God forever is dependent on anything you do, then on the last day, your lamp is burned out. You'll be shut out of the kingdom forever. But if your answer does not begin with "because I," but begins with "because he," because he gave his life for me, because he spilled blood to wash away my sins, because he has called me out of darkness, because he has found me when I was lost. If you can say your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, then you can know that your flame of faith is burning brightly. And God is going to welcome you into his kingdom forever. That's the promise Jesus makes. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's the promise God has made for you. And what is it that keeps that flame of faith burning in your heart? What's the oil that keeps your lamp lit? Simply put, it's the gospel. It's the good news of God's love for sinners like you and me. Whether that gospel comes to us in the pages of Scripture, or it comes to us in the body and blood of Jesus, or it comes to us in the washing with water and the word, these are the tools that God uses to create and sustain saving faith in human hearts. What does Scripture say? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So what's the point? The point is this: if you want to be ready, I mean really ready, then don't let your jar of oil go dry. Fill it up. Fill it up here in worship. Fill it up by spending time with fellow Christians in a small group or a Bible study. Fill it up with your devotional life. You might say when it comes to maintaining our Christian faith, we need to be proactive. We need to be thinking ahead. We need to be like the wise bridesmaids who prepared for what was coming. Because if you don't, this is what'll happen. It's what happened to me last month. I decided I was going to take one last fishing trip. I'm going to go out, catch some crappies on the Wolf River. So I made sure all my tackle was ready, got my poles, got my tackle box, got my landing net, and bought some new minnows, and get out on the water. I'm good to go. I'm ready to go. Drop the electric trolling motor in, and that little propeller goes, meow. No, what? I didn't charge the battery? You've got to be kidding me. Man, I have a trickle charger. It's all set to go. I just didn't plug it in. What a fool. That's the definition of a foolish bridesmaid. Don't be a fool. Don't let your battery go dead. Don't let your cup run out. Let God fill it up with his love, with his truth, with his grace. Because this is how God prepares you for the future. Whatever it is, whenever it comes. Remember that 10-year-old who died in his backyard? 2 months ago, his mom asked his grandpa, missionary Steve Witte to spend some time with him, to read scripture to him. And so for the duration of his furlough, three times a week, they got together and studied the Bible. They shared stories. They talked about Jesus. They talked about heaven. They talked about what it would be like when they finally get to be with Jesus. Little did they know that God was preparing them for what was about to happen far sooner than they expected it to happen. Through his word, God was making sure that both of them were ready, really ready. And today, through his word, God's doing the same thing for you. God grant it. Amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.